a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Okay, good. I want to welcome our internet listeners, and just a reminder for everyone to please silence your cell phones if you have it on. Anyone that is providing testimony, please sign in. And one other thing, if the page would come up and introduce yourself, press the green button and tell us who you are and where you're from.
Thanks, Chairman. My name is Willa Bertanzigo, and I go to school in Dupree, South Dakota. And when I go to college, I'll be majoring in criminal justice, and I'm going to college in United Tribes Technical College in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Great. Thank well, you. Thank you, and thank you for working with our committee today. With that, I'll ask the Secretary to take roll.
Senators Bradford.
Here.
Holine.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Krebs.
Here.
Rampelberg. Sohal.
Here.
Hunoff.
Here. We do have a quorum. Thank you. With that, we're going to start off here. First of all, Senate Bill 68. Is there anyone here who is planning to testify on Senate Bill 68? Good. We are going to defer taking that bill till next Wednesday because the presenters are also at another hearing this morning, and so that bill will be moved to next Wednesday. With that, I'd like to bring up below the line Senate Bill 25. This, the Department of Human Services had brought this, and it was to revise certain provisions relating to the Department of Human Services and the treatment of persons with developmental disabilities. They have asked that they're going to pull that bill, so I would entertain a motion. No, Senator Soholt.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I would move that we table Senate Bill 25.
It's been moved by Senator Soholt, seconded by Senator Krebs to table Senate Bill 25. A tabling motion is non-debatable. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bradford.
Aye.
Holine.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg. Soholt.
Aye.
Hunoff.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. With that, we will now move into our first order of business, that is Senate Bill 69. This revises certain provisions of the Health Professionals Diversion Program, and I would ask the presenter to please come forward. Just as a reminder, always identify yourself and for the home listening audience. Thank you and good morning and welcome.
Oh,
you know what? I erred. Minutes. Before we do, I'd entertain a motion to move the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Senator Holine, seconded by Senator Soholt. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. All right. Welcome.
Okay. I think that's on now. Madam Chair and members of the Senate Health Committee, my name is Gloria Damgard, and I am the Executive Director of the South Dakota Board of Nursing and speaking in support of Senate Bill 69. As Chairperson Hunhoff said, that this is an act to revise certain provisions of the Health Professionals Diversion Program.
Ms. Damgard, I'm really behind the eight ball
okay.
here, and I apologize. I understand we have an amendment, and I was going to. So I would ask the amendment is 69JA. I would ask for moved by Senator Krebs, second by.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded, so you can address both the bill and the amendment.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. So basically, what this bill is intended to do is to update the language of the statute 36-2A1 to reflect current terminology and also current practice of this program. And also a substantial change to the bill also is that it adds a mental health component to the program in addition to the substance use disorder. The first thing that we have done in this, the amendment, is in the definition of terms under Section 1. And you can see that we've deleted the word diversion, and we've put the actual name of the program, the Health Professionals Assistance Program, in its place. And when this bill was initially enacted in 1996, diversion was meant to be a diversion from discipline by the licensing boards, but it is so highly confusing confused with drug diversion that it had lost its original meaning. And the program is not specifically about drug diversion. It is a health professional's assistance program. So throughout the entire bill, whenever the word diversion would appear, we have eliminated it and replaced it with health professional's assistance program. So basically the definition tells you what the program is. It's a monitoring program. So it's designed to monitor the treatment and continuing care of any regulated health professional who may be unable to practice with reasonable skill and safety if the professional's mental health issues or substance use disorder is not appropriately managed. And that's where you first see the language of mental health issues coming into that definition. And then definition two is of impaired, and we've defined that as the inability of a licensee to practice his or her health-related profession with reasonable skill and safety as a result of mental health issues or substance use-related disorders. So that's, again, where you see the addition of the mental health piece. The definition of the participating boards, then, is a health-related licensing board in Title 36, which agrees with other boards to jointly conduct the Health Professionals Assistance Program. And as you can see in the language, the program is available to the licensing boards with or as an alternative to other sanctions which a health-related board may impose upon licensees pursuant to disciplinary actions within the jurisdiction. So that pretty much defines the participating boards. Right now we have five boards, health-related boards, that participate in the program. It is the Board of Nursing, the Board of Medicine, the Board of Pharmacy, the Board of Dentistry, and then the Certification Board for Alcohol and Drug Counselors. So those would be the five that are participating. I would just point out in section or in definition number four, the program personnel, where we've added contracted entities, and we put that in because we are contracting now with an agency to provide these services for us. In the past, we employed an individual that did that for us, and now we contract it to an agency, and that's worked much better for us, and we wanted to have that language reflected in the law as well. In Section 3, you'll find the oversight of the program with the participating boards, and we have a program service committee that provides the oversight to the program, and that's a representative from each of the health-related boards that participate. And then we have established in this language the duties of that program service committee as far as oversight of the program. And that's where I would get into the amendment, where on page 3, we would line 2 of the printed bill, we would delete and then on page 3, line 3, we would delete and entity. And this particular duty of the service committee is to establish the program budget and the pro rata share of program expenses to be borne by each board. Now, we do allow students into this program. There's a statute that allows them to be admitted to the program. And we added the words and entity to primarily cover the schools in case at some point in time we have to charge a fee for their participation. But we got some feedback on that, and we decided that we would remove it. The boards pay 100% of the cost for everyone that's in this program, other than their drug testing and fees related to that. So we will continue with this amendment to cover the cost of the students in the program. Then I would move down to Section 4, which is the establishes the health professionals evaluation committees. And in addition to the program service committee that has the general oversight of the program, there is a evaluation committee which oversees all the clinical aspects of the program. And in that particular Section 4, again, you see where we have added mental health or substance use disorder to the qualifications for a person serving on that evaluation committee. And then we go on in Section 5 to define the duties of that evaluation committee. And then I think that the rest of the bill basically is, you know, cleanup language that takes out the diversion language, replaces it with health professionals assistance program, and delineates the duties. So I think with that, I would end my testimony and would respectfully ask you for your support of Senate Bill 69.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents for Senate Bill 69? Any other proponents? No other proponents. Are there any opponents? Any opponents for Senate Bill 69? Okay. Are there questions by the committee? No questions? Then I will close this hearing to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action. And I will remind, first we need to act on the amendment. Senator Solholt.
I would move due pass of the amendment to Senate Bill 69, the 69JA.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Solholt, seconded by Senator Krebs, to approve amendment 69JA. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. The amendment's been approved. I'd entertain a motion for the amended bill.
Madam Chair.
Senator Solholt.
Madam Chair, thank you. I would move due pass Senate Bill 69 as amended.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Senator Solholt, seconded by Senator Krebs to do pass Senate Bill 69 as amended. Any comments on that motion? Senator Solholt.
Madam Chair, I would just like to speak out in strong support of Senate Bill 69, having actually worked on the Board of Nursing for 8 years, see how the Health Professionals Assistance Program really maintains our workforce and does this perfect blend of protecting the public and putting monitoring in place, much of what we're trying to now do with the Criminal Justice Initiative, where there is appropriate controls to assure public protection and yet bringing people back into the workforce. So I would thank you for your support.
Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing none, the motion before you is due pass on Senate Bill 69 as amended. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bradford, Holeen, Jensen, Krebs. I'm sorry. Am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
Krebs, Rampelberg, Soholt, Hanna. Is this?
Go ahead.
I'm done.
Okay, I think we've got a couple back here. We'll do it at committee.
Just tell me how I spoke, Madam.
No. We're on Senate Bill 69 as amended.
Okay. Can you call the roll again?
Call the roll again.
Yes, I will. Senators Bradford, Holeen, Jensen, Krebs.
Wait, you're going too fast. Okay, we're voting Senator Bradford. On Senate Bill 69 as amended. Okay.
Senator Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg. Soholt.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. Senator Soholt, I'll ask you to carry the bill on the floor. Thank you. Okay. With that, we're going to move to Senate Bill 23. Senate Bill 23 revises certain provisions relating to the Certification Board for Alcohol and Drug Professionals and to increase certain fees. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Amy Iverson-Pora is Deputy Secretary for the Department of Social Services. Senate Bill 23 is another bill that's coming to you from one of the boards associated with the Department of Social Services. This bill comes from the Certification Board for Alcohol and Drug Professionals, so board member Diane Sevening will be providing the testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, Honorable Madam Chair and distinguished senators. My name is Dr. Diane Sevening. I'm from the University of South Dakota, where I am employed as an assistant professor by the Addiction Studies Department. I have come here this morning in my individual capacity as an active board member of the South Dakota Certification Board for Alcohol and Drug Professionals. I have not been authorized to testify for this bill on behalf of the South Dakota Board of Regents or the University of South Dakota, and my remarks reflect only my views that are in the best interest of South Dakota and the addiction profession. Senate Bill 23 is the result of collective work done by the Certification Board for Alcohol and Drug Professionals, a work group formed in 2011, and input gathered from practitioners through town hall meetings. The work group was comprised of various stakeholders, including certification board members, certified professionals, agency directors, and staff from the Department of Social Services. Section 26 of the bill guarantees that current certified professionals working in the field will maintain their status. To avoid any misconceptions, the board has been proactive in holding town hall meetings, distributing information, and presenting at statewide conferences, and having information available on the Certification Board website. The board wants to increase fees to address the decreasing cash reserves. The Certification Board's revenue is generated from member fees. For several years, the Certification Board's cash disbursements have exceeded cash receipts. Cash reserves have decreased by over $64,000 in the last three fiscal years. Fees have not increased in over 15 years, and at the current expenditure rate, the board will be out of money before the end of 2014. The bill increases or adds the maximum fees for the following: the renewal fee for certified addiction counselors and certified prevention specialists increases from $150 to $200, and the same renewal fee is established for licensed addiction counselors. Adds a reinstatement fee of $150 along with provisions for reinstatement. The renewal fee for addiction counselor trainees and prevention specialist trainees increases from $100 to $150. Adds an examination late cancellation or non-attendance fee of $125, and simplifies and combines several of the other fees charged by the board. The bill also provides the board authority to seek reimbursement from the practitioner for expenses incurred in an investigation or disciplinary hearing, to include legal expenses, attorney fees, court reporters, mediators, or hearing officers. The bill changes the chemical dependency references in statute to addiction to reflect broader nature of the profession. The bill changes the board's name from from the Certification Board for Alcohol and Drug Professionals to the Board of Addiction and Prevention Professionals, to coincide with the proposed addiction language change. The bill adds a licensure option in addiction and provides rulemaking authority to establish requirements and criteria for the licensure standards. The board is seeking to improve practice in addiction counseling and prevention services by modifying certification standards and proposing licensure to ensure the workforce will be prepared to meet the needs of the future. Because of the increased need for integrated treatment and evidence-based practices, the demand for highly trained, ethical professionals is increasing. Having the licensure option enhances the addiction profession and gives employers the security of knowing that licensed addiction counselors demonstrate a high level of commitment, knowledge, and skill. Several states have enacted licensure laws for addiction counselors as a means of gaining additional credibility with other disciplines, and licensure at a master's level is consistent with national trends. Current certified professionals who choose not to move toward licensure will retain their certification status with nothing taken away. Having better educated professionals also strengthens consumer protection. For consumer protection, the bill adds grounds for denial, cancellation, revocation, or suspension to any applicant who fails to disclose a felony or who provides false, misleading, or inaccurate information in the application or renewal process, or in an investigation or prosecution of an ethical complaint filed with the board. The bill provides further protection by adding a reciprocity provision for credentialed professionals from other states to disclose any felony charges within 5 years of the date of application. The bill also expands on what constitutes unprofessional behavior in order to have safeguards in place to protect the public. The Certification Board is open, receptive, and willing to work with all stakeholders, clinical directors, and managers to craft administrative rules that will meet the needs of all concerned constituents. I am asking for your support in passing the Senate Bill 23 today. Thank you for your time and consideration. I will stand by for questions.
Thank you. Are there other proponents for Senate Bill 23? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Honor Committee members. My name is Ross Dietrich. I am an addiction studies major at the University of South Dakota, and I'm also the vice president of CASPA, which is the Coalition of Addiction Students and Prevention Professionals Pursuing Advocacy. And I'm here this morning to show support for this bill among the growing numbers of students in our group, which we have 50 members who do pay dues annually and who are all in support of this bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other proponents of Senate Bill 23. Good morning and welcome.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, wow, that is loud. I promised some of you I wouldn't testify, so chalk this up as the first time I misled you this legislative session. My name is Drew Duncan. I'm the registered lobbyist for the Certification Board for Alcohol and Drug Professionals. I just wanted to hit on three topics that I think Diane did a great job of discussing, but I wanted to just explain them a little more. We think that this effort to provide additional consumer protections for patients and their patients and the members of the public goes hand in hand with the governor's criminal justice initiative that's being looked at here by your colleagues, even this morning. The courts, just from my perspective as both a practicing attorney and someone who has at least a little knowledge about the system now, is these people who will be licensed and continue to be credentialed will work hand in hand with those people that are sentenced by the courts in the state. And these people will be more and more, these people being the certified and licensed drug and alcohol professionals, addiction specialists, will be more and more needed. Also, in order to raise fees, as I explained to a few of you, the change to the statute only provides the maximum fees that are going to be allowed. There will still be the requirement that the board go through the administrative rules process in order to raise fees, and only the maximums are discussed in the statute. And finally, Diane touched very briefly on the expenses involved in disciplinary actions, and as someone who represents another exam board for the state and someone who also has been on both sides of the aisle in criminal courts, I can tell this committee with all surety that happens often in disciplinary actions and in circuit court. A defendant or someone who is found guilty of adjudicated to have committed an unprofessional act is often required as a part of the final decision to pay administrative costs, including the ones that Diane discussed with you. I'd stand by for questions, and I hope you can support Senate Bill 23.
Thank you. Other proponents of Senate Bill 23? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Terry Dosh from Pierre, and this morning I appear before you in the capacity as Executive Director of the South Dakota Council of Substance Abuse Directors. That's a nonprofit association. I represent 16 alcohol and drug treatment and prevention agencies. So we represent the employer, if you will. I had opportunity to participate over the course of the summer in a work group that was convened by the Certification Board to take a look at the proposal for licensure and the draft implementing rules. At this point in time, I would share with you that we still harbor some concerns about the details of the licensure standards. However, we've received the assurances of the Certification Board that we'll be active participants, continue to be active participants in the process to actually get the implementing rules ready for final clearance. We do support the concept of licensure. I think most of you are aware of where the healthcare industry is going now, and it calls for increasingly greater integration in healthcare, not just within the field of behavioral health, but also integration between behavioral health, primary health care, and so forth. The technical aspects of the field are increasing every day. Shortly, Madam Chair, I'm going to need to excuse myself. I'm in the lineup to appear in testimony on Senate Bill 70, the Public Safety Act. And, you know, that's evidence of the importance of substance abuse treatment as an answer to some of the state's financial needs as well as our social needs. And so increasingly, we do need qualified staff. And I do see this as a professionalism of the field movement, and we do support it. And that would conclude my testimony subject to your questions. And if, Madam Chair, if I could make a special request, I am due in another committee shortly. So if the committee would have any questions of me, if I could entertain them.
All right, I'll allow this so that he can get. Is there a question? Senator Holine.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Dosh, I just want to go on record and give you the opportunity to express as clearly and plainly as possible that is it your understanding that when the administrative rules are going to be set, that you will be an active stakeholder and that there will be consideration for grandfathering in of current professionals in this field?
Madam Chair, Senator Holine, thank you for the question. That is my understanding. I received those assurances from Ms. Severning, and I'm comfortable that that's going to happen. I'm also comfortable that the chair of the Joint Review Committee is also the chair of this committee.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Madam Chair, thank you.
Any other proponents for Senate Bill 23? Any other proponents? Okay, seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 23? Any opponents? Okay, seeing none, committee. Have any questions? I do. And it's just, I'm sorry, Ms. Sieving, if you want to come back up. This is my question. Can a certification also be licensed an individual in this? So I could be certified and I'll be licensed also ultimately?
No, it'll be one or the other. So there are some who are certified right now, and then when we get the administrative rules decided with all the stakeholders and directors, then there will be some that will be grandfathered in as licensed. So we will still have certified counselors, and we will still and then hopefully we will have licensed counselors.
So it's up to the individual practitioner if they want to go the licensure route or they want to go the certification route. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And I think to preface or to go back to what was just said, the point that you're grandfathering, then through the rules process, you will identify what the criteria is for licensure. Does that mean that that will automatically, you know, your licensing is the intent that your licensing criteria will meet what the certification is so those people can slip, I mean, can transition into there, or will, do you see that there would be additional skill sets or education that you would need to get that license?
There is a grandfathering, there will be grandfathering. It'll be for 1 year only, where those who do qualify, who have the master's level degree, that they will automatically become licensed.
Okay. All right. And then one last question. The fee schedule here is based on counselors. Is your fee schedule going to be, this is the same fee schedule you'll use for licensure then also?
That's correct.
Okay. Any other questions?
Aye.
Okay. Senator Bradford, and then I'll Senator Krebs. Go ahead, Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I may be a little bit off, but you understand that these people, the drug professional that do the counseling, we had a situation where out at Rapid City where some of our people who were, how shall we say, in court and ended up having to have drug rehabilitation by a professional. We had some problems for a while with the recognition of our people, our tribal people who had taken all the schooling and everything, but were not recognized by the certification. But it was my understanding that they did somehow get that work together, so those people who were incarcerated that were could do that, they could go back home and get that. Do you know whether that is in existence or still will be affected by this at all?
We are working very closely with the Indian Health Services, and they will be a part of the administrative rules as well. And we do have an agreement because there are some who were certified through Northern Plains but now are becoming certified through the South Dakota Certification Board. So we are very much aware of that, and we are working with them, collaboratively working with them.
Do you have a follow-up? Go ahead.
Yeah, follow-up is that I just want to thank you for that. I mean, really and truly, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Senator Krebs?
No question.
Anybody else? I had one question, and I'm... I'm sorry. It slipped my mind. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, with that, I will close this hearing. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Jansen. I didn't see you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This section 22, page 12, line 5, I'd like to amend a statement there. Section 22, page 12, line 5.
22, page 12, line 5.
Beginning at line 2, it says, require the practitioner to reimburse the board in an amount equal to the cost incurred for the investigation and disciplinary hearing, including the amount paid by the board for legal expenses, attorney fees, court reporters, and any mediator or hearing officer, comma, I'd like to add, provided there is irrefutable evidence of wrongdoing on the part of the practitioner. Just more of a safety to protect someone who was not found guilty of something.
Do you have that written?
No, ma'am. I do not.
So we can get it.
Madam Chair.
Senator Krebs.
Madam Chair, if you look at the next line, it says line 6, and maybe that alleviates that a bit. The board may withdraw the probation if the board finds the deficiencies that resulted in the disciplinary action have been remedied.
You know, I need to see it written so we can. Amendment. Okay. Okay, we're going to come out of recess, and we're in here. Senator Jansen, do you want to make a motion now that we have this amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I'd move that we amend Senate Bill 23 with the Amendment 23JA.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
As opposed, nay. Motion carried. Let's debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that we need to amend this, that there needs to be a protection built into this statute. I know due process will deal with the guilt or lack of guilt in a practitioner's actions. And if someone is found...
I have to approve the amendment, you know. My error.
Oops.
I'm going to ask you to withdraw and we'll redo.
Withdrawn.
Just leave it. Amended back. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Just to not to confuse everyone, which I thoroughly did.
Because we're not
already. Right. Okay, we passed the amendment. So if we don't want to, I would rather withdraw. You can do that if you get a second to withdraw. Yeah, you can get a withdraw. Yeah. I would rather you withdraw. And if your seconder will agree and then just redo and we'll just move it.
I think you're right.
What?
After you vote, you can.
All right, so the only thing then we can do is
re-amend.
All right. Go ahead.
You can withdraw a motion.
Yeah, just go. If we don't agree with this, we're going to have a motion to a substitute amendment. My apologies.
Okay, Madam Chair, what exactly do you want me to do right now?
Talk to the bill. Talk to the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe this 23JA amendment will protect someone who's gone through the process of being, for lack of a better term, run through the mill as far as an investigation for misconduct or what have you, and is found to be innocent or that there's not convincing evidence that there is a need for disciplinary action. So with that in mind, I move that we... we support this amendment.
Well, we passed it. That was my error. So.
Well, I know. Continue to support it.
Man. All right. Boy, this is embarrassing. This. I'll blame it on my cold. All right. You know, one thing I would just like, which is out of order, but I'd like at least they to be able to come back and.
Are you into further committee discussion
yes,
or action?
Yes,
there
yes.
You go. Okay, so Madam Chair, further committee discussion answered. May I ask a question?
Can I have them?
That's what I want to ask him.
Okay, yep. Go ahead.
So, Mr. Duncan, could you please clarify the feedback on this amendment?
Sure. Drew Duncan, registered lobbyist for the Certification Board of Alcohol and Drug Professionals. I would assume we're on the substitute motion
yes.
now. Okay, all right.
We're on the motion that was approved.
Okay, so at some point we're going to have to get to the substitute motion to amend.
Yes, if we want to change.
Right. From just a real quick reading, the language, the clear and convincing evidence is the proper legal standard on administrative procedures, disciplinary proceedings like this, would already be worked into the jurisprudence. I believe, but I don't think that there's any great harm with putting this in the statute. At this point, I don't think the board would have any great heartburn by this committee putting this language in. So, you know, I'm not going to tell you we're supportive or unsupportive, but I think it's fine. And if they have problems with it, they'll deal with those down the road. But I don't foresee that happening right now. And this is the proper legal standard.
Thank you. Did that answer your question, Senator Krebs?
Further questions?
Go ahead.
May I have Ms. Sevening? I'm sorry if I pronounce. Is it Sevening?
Sevening.
Thank you. Just a further clarification on the board's stance on this. I just want to ask your feedback so it's on the record here.
It appears as though we are in favor of that. So we don't have any issues with it.
All right.
No further question.
Thank you, Senator.
Now backwards. The motion has been passed. There would be a substitute motion if we did not want to go with this amendment. What? Just a motion. So apparently not.
Madam Chair, I just move we...
It's done. It's moved. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. All right. Bill, right. We've passed, right. Thank you, Senator Krebs. We have the amended bill. Now, if you want to do discussion on the amended bill. Senator Holling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I realize we got off track a little bit. I just want to put something in the record going forward that... in years to come, if this issue does come back up, a lot of times they come back and listen to the original committee hearing, and they go back to what the legislative intent is. And I just want to make it clear, I've got lots of friends who work in this field. They're in favor of the idea behind the bill. They just want to know what specifically these administrative rules are going to be. As of now, they are satisfied. I want to thank all parties present for working with them behind the scenes before we even heard this bill to address their fears, and I believe that they're satisfied. But I just want to make it clear from legislative intent, at least from this legislator, that the intent is to bring these stakeholders into a talk to try to find a compromise going forward as far as what the best procedures are going forward and to address as many of the concerns about grandfathering in current professionals as possible. This is a very valuable field that these people work in. It's a tough, thankless, and underpaid job, and I know from working in the Criminal Justice Initiative where both Senator Bradford and I were gone for the beginning of this committee, they're going to be asked to do even more. And so I think that the idea of making them professional is even a better idea, to show them the recognition that they deserve. And I just want to make it clear that the intent of this legislator, at least, and I know talking with some of my friends on the committee, that that is the intent, and we are satisfied with that, and I thank everyone involved for addressing those concerns. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Senator Krebs.
I make a motion to do pass Senate Bill 23 as amended.
Second.
Moved by Senator Krebs, seconded by Senator Solholt. Do pass Senate Bill 23 as amended. Any more comments on that motion?
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just can't express enough what the good senator spoke about in my part of this whole thing is that I foresee a greater amount of interaction because of the amount of our people who are going to be handled by this. And I also am very concerned about the administrative rules and to make sure that nothing is taken away from the good that has been done, already done. And so I'll also be watching this very closely. So.
Thank you, Senator Bradford. Senator Krebs, did you have anything?
Madam Chair, I just want to just clarify on the bill as far as why I want to have the support of the do pass motion. This bill here, Senate Bill 23, as amended, is an act to provide the provisions and update provisions for alcohol and drug professionals. I think there's three or four major areas that we need that needed to be addressed here. I appreciate that it's only establishing a maximum in their fees in statute, and then the rule is where you'll set the fees. I think that needs to be clarified, and I appreciate that the maximum has been set. I know financial issues are a challenge, and that's what we're trying to do here, and I think you probably are going to want to max your fees out because of the financial status. As we've stated before on this committee, we want to make sure that in the rulemaking authority side of it, that those that are in the field now that have and will retain their certification status that are currently in the field, and we are strongly suggesting and will follow that to make sure that continues and happens. We also appreciate the fact that this bill provides grounds for the revocation and reciprocity with other states, and clarifying some unprofessional behavior in this field. So what this whole provisional update does is just provide clarity and update for a profession that is going to continue to grow and the needs that will come with it. It's truly a consumer protection for our patients and those in need in this area, and I know that they'll continue to work hand-in-hand with the justice system. So I appreciate your support of Senate Bill 23 as amended, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, the bill before you then for the vote is Senate Bill 23 as amended. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Solholt.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. Senator Krebs, if you'd carry this bill on the floor. My apologies again to the committee and to those people that were here, sponsors of the bill. I apologize for the confusion here. Please pardon me for today. Thank you. With that, I did see Senator Maher. You are here. Okay, we will now move to Senate Bill 72. This revises certain provisions concerning inspection of food service establishments by the Department of Health. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Ryan Maher, State Senator for District 28, which includes most of northwestern South Dakota. I guess, Madam Chair, full disclosure, I own a restaurant and bar located on Main Street of Isabel, South Dakota. And so I guess I have some firsthand knowledge as to where this bill is. What the page is passing out is essentially a hog house amendment or a different section that was, Madam Chair.
No, go ahead. I was going to say, somebody move the amendment and then we'll.
Madam Chair.
Can you discuss? Yes. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Do you want to move them? Or we'll just discuss it. Okay. When I originally filed 72, I had ran it past the department, and at that time they didn't have an opinion. And upon a meeting yesterday afternoon, we came up and both mutually agreed on this language to put into 72. This bill kind of, you know, you go back to the 2009 session in House Bill 1040 at that time, when all the fees and stuff at that time were adjusted, and it just kind of evolves forward as they were raising fees to trying to make the general fund more stable, and we understand all that. And the fee, I think, for current inspections is $25, and you're in statute, you're supposed to be inspected twice a year, so a total of $50 that's put on your health licensing fee when that's paid annually. Over the course of the summer, I served on a working group and with the South Dakota Retailers and the Department of Health, and Sean Lyons will get more into that working group. But as a part of that working group, this is kind of what was developed out of it, and we kind of finalized it yesterday with the department. And it all goes back to when a restaurant is inspected, you receive a score, and with that scoring mechanism, it kind of tells you how clean your restaurant is and if you're violating it, if there's any critical infractions, or and there's a whole different series of different things you can be wrote up for, trying to follow the food service laws and stuff of the state and not only that, but of the safe serve classifications and stuff. As we move more into a digital age, the department wants to be able to post those scores online, which I think is probably a good thing. I think Sioux Falls already does that. They already do their own posting online. So that way, as a consumer, you have the ability to go out there and see what the restaurant is that you want to go get at this particular night, and you will have the ability to see how cleanly the restaurant is and stuff. It's just a little consumer protection stuff out there. However, in doing this, it also puts a little bit of burden of proof back on the restaurant, too, to clean up your act and to try to be good stewards and to run a clean restaurant. But the fact of the matter is that the department in public safety, the public safety department of the state does all the inspections themselves. The Department of Health administers it, but all the inspections are done through public safety. Public safety has had a series of turnover in the last couple of years, and so what's happened is there's been a lot of restaurants in the state that haven't been inspected for basically on an 18-month rotation. And so now we're posting scores online, and we're only in statute we're supposed to be inspected twice a year. That's in statute currently. But if we're only being inspected twice or every 18 months, that puts a huge burden on these restaurants out there that if you get a low score and you don't have the ability to go out and remedy that somehow and you have to wait 18 months for the next inspection, you essentially just as well close your doors. Because if you get a score in the 80s, you know, and people are used to the K-12 system of grading, you know, 90s and A, 80s a B, 70s or C's, and if you don't have the ability to regrade yourself, I mean, that's a financial impact to the industry, especially when you have a substantial amount of money invested into these restaurants and what it costs us to run a restaurant as far as capital is concerned. So essentially what this amendment does is it'll allow you that if you receive a score of between of 80 and a 90, you can pay $100 and have the department come out and regrade you. And if you score below a 70, that automatically triggers an inspection within 60 days. So that's why there's a, if you look at this, if you're between 99 and 90, you don't have this option. But if you score between an 89 and an 80, this option, this statute would kick in and allow you to be regraded. And it's already current in law or rule that if you score below a 70, you're already triggered at an automatic reinspection. It just gives the restaurant industry a way of trying to preserve what they've already invested in. So I could go into a lot more detail about some other stuff in the beginning of the bill, but if we move the amendment, that's probably not necessary. I'll stand by for questions. I'll let the department and the agencies come forward and testify also. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you. Other proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tom Martinez. I'm the Deputy Secretary of the Department of Health. And I don't want to repeat any of Senator Maher's comments. And we do rise, of course, in support of the Hog House Amendment. The way that the inspection process works now, and it's actually a failed inspection is a score of 80. Or lower, I believe Senator Maher said 70 or lower, but it's actually 80 or lower. In that situation, law mandates that we give that establishment 60 days to correct those violations, and then we do a follow-up inspection, and that's usually done shortly after that 60-day period ends. The concern that we've heard from the industry, especially once we started posting the restaurant inspection or the food service lodging and campground scores online, which we did this last summer, is that even if, for example, like food service, they're required to get two annual inspections. Even if the system works perfectly, there's going to be 6 months between inspections. For lodging and campgrounds, there'll be a year between inspections. The concern is that inspections are just a snapshot in time, and people have bad days and establishments have bad days, and if an establishment is unlucky enough to be having a bad day and our inspectors show up and we show up unannounced, they could get stuck with an uncharacteristically low score for months, and the general public could make decisions on the establishments they want to frequent based on that score, and again, it's viewed as uncharacteristically low by the owner. So what this expedited inspection process would do is it would give, under certain limitations, give establishment owners the ability to request a follow-up inspection that would happen sooner, within 60 days, and it gives them an opportunity to improve their score. The inspections will be the same. It's quite possible that they could score the same or even lower. It's not necessarily a regrading. It's just another inspection.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other proponents for Senate Bill 72?
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jenna Howell. I'm the Director of Legal and Regulatory Services for the Department of Public Safety. We do understand the concerns that prompted this bill, and we appreciate Senator Maher involving us in this proposed solution. In order to show our commitment to improving the inspection process and to address the concerns that have been raised in this process, we are here to support Senate Bill 72 as amended. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents?
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Sean Lyons, South Dakota Retailer Association. I think this is my first time before this committee, and lucky for you folks, I don't spend a whole lot of time over here. I appreciated the opportunity of Senator Maher to bring the Hog House Amendment, and I first of all want to thank Secretary Hollingsworth and Secretary Jones for the opportunity to meet yesterday on this issue. We actually, as Senator Maher indicated, did establish a work group of some of our hospitality members on the restaurant side last year when the department moved forward with their new online inspection process. And I think it's been a good discussion between our organization and particularly the Department of Health, and I appreciate their willingness to work with us. Obviously, this is just one component of probably a host of issues that we'll continue to work with the department on in this coming year. I think Senator Maher obviously had some issues and frustrations with his own establishment, which is why you had the original bill that was brought before you. As we talk to our members throughout the state, obviously, these inspection scores, they really are a badge of honor, not just because of the fact of what it means to the consumer in terms of public safety and where are safe places to eat, and obviously that's something that we're all concerned about. But if you're the restaurant owner, frankly, you use that maybe even in your marketing materials, but you also just, in terms of how you perceive your restaurant and yourself, you use that score as a badge of honor. So this reinspection process, if you will, is one of the things that we did talk with the department about over the last year, and we appreciate them coming forward with the amendment that you have before you this morning. We think there will probably be other issues, as I said, that we'll work on in the coming year, things maybe the department is looking at in terms of updating their food safety code. The other thing I want to mention real quickly, and you may hear from the Innkeepers Association this morning, one of the things that we think is very important, and it's not just in the restaurant industry, but obviously in lodging as well, a unified effort between the industry representing those two groups, but working with the departments, and in particular with public safety, is they have a number of things that they have to inspect, not just restaurants and hotels. So this is a good step forward. We appreciate the department being willing to work with us, and we support the bill. Thank you.
Are there other proponents?
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Michelle Brisch, and I'm here representing the South Dakota Innkeepers Association, and we do support this also. Within the Innkeepers Association, of course, we've got hotels, but a large number of them are also affiliated with our own restaurants. And anymore with the, especially with the those that fly under a flag or are associated with a franchise, they are required to serve a certain number of hot breakfast items. So they're actually falling under the category where they need the restaurant licensing also. So on behalf of our members that are both lodging establishments and restaurants or considered restaurants, I'd like to say we do support this and appreciate Senator Maher and the Department of Health working with us on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Are there any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none? Move. All right. Now we have an amendment, so. Senator Holine.
Madam Chair, I would like to move Amendment 72FA.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so it's been moved. Now, yes, FA. Oh. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question. When I read the bill as it is presented on the internet, compared to the amendment that we have before us, there are elements that are missing from this, and I guess I'm wondering if they're covered. I'm trying to find it, and the rest of the other part of the bill is. Do you know what I'm trying to say, Senator?
Yes, Senator Maher, since you hoghoused this.
Senator Rampelberg, when you look at the original bill, 3418.25.1 is current law. That's already in statute. Essentially, we're not going to amend that statute. We're just going to take this, and it's going to become its own statute if it passes. So it's not really amending an existing statute any longer. It's just a complete gut of the original bill. And then we insert Section 1, which will then eventually get codified and have its own number.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Senator. But my question is, in the bill that is in existence, there's a $25 fee but there is no fee in this particular. So that's why I don't understand how that works. Do you see what my question?
The existing fee is already in statute.
That's what I'm asking.
So this is going to be another subsection of that chapter.
That answers my question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So it's been moved and seconded for Amendment 72-FA. Anything else? Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bradford.
Aye.
This is on the amendment.
Yes, this is the amendment. Oh, I'm sorry. All those in favor signify. I guess
it's Friday and you have a cold, Madam Chair. No problem.
All right. We've got an amendment. Voice vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. The amendment's passed. All right. Now, we have the bill 2072 as amended.
Madam Chair.
Senator Jensen.
I move do pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Rampelberg, do pass on Senate Bill 72 as amended. Any comments on that motion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Jensen.
Just briefly, I appreciate all the parties working together on this and getting this done. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
The amendment was done.
If it's just to the committee, we can discuss
that.
Yeah.
We're in discussion.
We're in discussion. On the bill. Go ahead.
If it's just amongst us, we can discuss.
No. The question is just amongst us.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Well, we can get a two-thirds vote and open it back up to committee if that's what you'd like, Senator Bradford, if you want to question someone. Are you sure? All right.
I'll ask it on the floor.
My apologies. This has just been not, this must be the weird Friday. All right. The motion before us is due pass on Senate Bill 72 as amended. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Sohal.
Aye.
Hunnell.
Aye.
Hunnell.
Motion carried.
I can't talk.
Thank you. Well, that concludes our chaotic, eclectic meeting this morning. Again, my apologies. Too many things going on. With that, we are off on Monday, back on Wednesday. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
I don't even know who said
that. That's a second.
Senator Rampelberg. Okay. Moved by Senator Krebs, seconded by Senator Rampelberg. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Apparently it was Senator Holeen.
It's all right.
Moved by Holeen, seconded by...
Oh, I feel so bad for you.